You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
It is winter. You guys know that? It's winter in Montana. I've lived here. I was born here. I almost said how old I was. That was weird. I was born in Missoula, and I don't remember a winter like this. Everybody is saying echoing together since 1996. This is a serious winter. That Christmas, I was living in Hamilton. I remember Christmas Eve and Christmas shoveling. We couldn't open the front door. Every hour or two, we'd have to shovel the sidewalks, and it just felt magical. So it's been a great Christmas and New Year's, but now we're in February. This is getting ridiculous, okay? I love to ski. I love to be outdoors. My kids picked one of the coffee mugs for me this morning. I said, pick it for me. They know me well. My daughter gave me the Hawaii Surf's Up mug, okay? Winter is good. Snow is good. Time to move on, though. I want to do this. I'll say a little bit about myself, about our church, about my family. But I always believe that when you go away and do something like a men's rally, when God speaks to you and does stuff in your life, it's always encouraging to hear what God has done individually in people. Maybe it's your first time. Maybe you're going through a tough situation. So I'm going to ask you first if this is okay. Could we hear just quickly if there's anybody you'd love to share and say, hey, when I was there, God spoke to me this, or he encouraged me in this, or maybe you just had a great time. You just want to say, you know what, guys, this is great. If you're free next year, come join us. It's going to be a race. This is how I compete with everything. So if you raise your hand first, you get to come share first, all right? Ready? One, two, three. You want to share? Stick your hand up.
Do it.
Not all the guys at once.
Hey, it's not very often someone gives you a mic, so.
Yeah. State your name.
My name is Jonathan Barbagello. Okay. Sorry, I didn't realize you. And it was really a great time, but one of the things I wanted to share briefly, about that, is one of the things that JR talked a lot about, I think it was, I forget which session it was, but it was dealing with this concept of wisdom versus knowledge, and it really greatly impacted me because I realized a lot of my life I had focused on knowledge, and I thought I was focusing on wisdom, and God really showed me the difference between wisdom and knowledge. And what I shared is that knowledge is which path to walk on. Wisdom is how to walk on that path. And knowledge is information and truth, whereas wisdom is how to use it. And that was really powerfully impactful for me and really changed how I view working with other people and just living my life.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, give him a hand.
Yes, sir. Come on up.
Takes a little courage
this
to do
is,
that.
This is kind of like The Price is Right. As he runs up, cheer for him. Come on.
Come on now. Yeah.
Hello. So we joked about it. I made up a joke last year, and before going to the men's retreat, I want all the men to raise your hand. And then if you went to the men's retreat, lower your hand. If your hand's raised still, you should be embarrassed. No. you should want to go next year. So I've gone for every time, about 4 years, and I love going there. Every year is a little different. This year was different again, and I was definitely surprised the way I expected for something to happen. It didn't, and then it was better than I thought. So a lot of things happen on the behind the scenes. You see a lot of guys off to the side talking and relationships built, and I think those were the most important for me this year, and seeing other people I knew going through some stuff, just hashing it out and talking and sharpening iron, and I did learn not to follow Jason and Ryan Dahlke down a sledding hill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a nice beaten path that you're supposed to go down, and they were trying their hardest to go off to the side. Ryan made it successfully, and me and Jason went flying, and everything went wrong. And so we learned to stretch before playing basketball.
Yeah.
A lot of these things that we know, but anyways, we had fun, and just the things that the relationships being built, there's definitely not enough time in that stretch to do it all. So, yeah, I'd like to add another day to it. But anyways, it was awesome.
I'll put your request in to JR. One more day.
Thanks for sharing that, Ben.
Anybody else? You just have to share what happened to you during the rally. Anybody else going once?
Sound man.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I didn't see you back there.
That's okay. I'm Joshua Barbagello, and probably the thing that I learned the most or that challenged me the most was to know my scriptures better.
Yeah, one of the things that we did is we took scenarios, we created scenarios at the top of a piece of paper saying, hey, what if you were in this situation and someone was seeking counsel from you? What would you do? And as a team, they'd go through the scriptures and try and find scripture and truth and try and use that in a wise way to counsel others. And that was one of the big things that came out of it was, wow, I needed to know my scriptures even better so I'm prepared for these kinds of situations. And it was a real fun exercise.
Yeah, so I just kind of was there just for about half of it, went up there Thursday afternoon, left Friday. A few of the things that I identified there or really just kind of valued was the connecting with people. It's just those conversations where life is so busy for all of us that getting in a place like that and having the time and kind of being set up to have those chats was just great. I learned that you've got a few very good ping pong players in your church. Pretty good. You got a few basketball players that can shoot some hoops. Now, I was pretty unimpressed, got to be honest. The ice fishing didn't go so well, right? Yeah, it was pretty slow. I think it was maybe too cold for the fish. I don't know if they wanted to move, which I understand. My name is Andrew Squires. This is my lovely wife right here, Carla. We have our oldest son, Tristan, who's also with us. We have five kids total. Four are with us. The three, we call them the littles. We bunch our kids, bigs and littles. Our three little kids are back in the kids' class, so we have 12th grade through first grade, 18, 15, 11, and twin seven-year-olds. The oldest are boys, and the two twins are girls. So we have our own basketball team, I like to joke, and there's a few of you who have large families as well. So maybe we'll set up like a church basketball tournament thing between Twin Cities. I come from Clark Fork City Church. How many of you have been out to Missoula and our church before? Oh, about half of you. The fun part of traveling around and going to different churches is you get to see how people do things differently. You get to see how buildings are different. Yeah, the nice part of this is Montana. We know you guys. We've gotten to know JR. I was with him in South Africa 2 years ago. I was with Brian Acey in September in South Africa. And, we know Jason, Rebecca, their kids. They travel back and forth and visit us. So, our church loves you guys. We know about your church. We pray for you. I also do need to say hello from Josh and his wife, Jessica, and also Kay Valentine, who many of you know. Kay and Steve helped start the church. They married my wife and I, and they said, be sure to say hello to Mount Helena Church for us. Kay did. So hello from them. We doing all right? Doing good? Okay, don't be afraid to say something. It can even be, it's kind of quiet. We used to say a quiet church is a dead church. It's not that way anymore. I think a loud church is just more fun. Okay, there you go. I saw this on Facebook. Somebody said we should be as excited about church as we are about the Super Bowl. Yeah. That makes sense? Okay. When I make a good point, feel free to come pour Gatorade on me. All right? Okay, that can be bad. This is my first time here, so I have to behave. I can't say things that are kind of odd. I can't make fun of people, but the Super Bowl is today, correct? Okay, I'll just say this. My team is not in the Super Bowl, so I'll leave it at that. On the count of three, I want you to shout out who you are cheering for, or just shout your team's name. Okay. I almost made fun of him. Sorry. Yeah, okay. Exactly. God's working on me too. Yeah, I got to be encouraging. The Holy Spirit, which is often the voice of my wife, said, be nice, be good. But on the count of three, yell out your team's name. Ready? One, two, three. Okay, I heard a hockey team. That counts. I see you. There's a big game tonight, so we'll watch that. Should be good. Our church is this year turning 40 years old. I've been at the church about 12 or 13 years. My wife has been at the church a little bit longer. It just feels like home. It's a great place to live. Our building is like yours. We have several businesses that lease from us kind of all throughout the week, a school, a food bank. And my personal favorite, we have an indoor soccer arena in our church building. If that's not cool, I mean, I don't know what it is. I play soccer. It's so great. And so it just feels like being here is much like being at home. So thank you. Also, I want to say this. Your church is like ours. They arrive late, right? And you have your own sections of there's more people over here, and it's kind of sparse as we get to this side. And churches are funny, aren't they? Funny places. We appreciate being here, JR and Jenny. Thank you for having us. Rebecca, good to see you guys. Let's pray, if you would, and we'll get after it. Lord, we thank you so much just that we can wake up, God, for another day. We can see the sun and the sky and live in a beautiful place, even though, Lord, we want summer. Come on, it's nice here. We're thankful to be alive, but you say we have not because we ask not. God, we say, bring us summer soon. God, we pray that your word would live in our hearts. God, would be active, would be sharp. God, I pray, open our minds, open our spirits, God, to hear not only what I'm saying, God, but what your word is saying, what your spirit is saying to us today. God, we know you love us and you have a great plan for our life, and we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If I could ask a favor from somebody, can I get water? There we go. Yeah, it was funny. Ben mentioned that you have to stretch before basketball. I'm the age I have to stretch before I preach. I get sore and walking around. I want to start with this story. Today I'm going to talk about, and I've wrestled with this, because when you go to a new church, you know, you kind of want to, you know, be nice and be the fun guy, and I want to be that, but I also want to bring what I think is just the heart of God to the current state of life we live in, where much is going on, there's many things happening, and I just believe I want to encourage you, I want to encourage myself, because God has called us to love God and love people, and there are some things going on in life that are really challenging us in doing that very simple thing. Thank you, sir, you are the kindest. But I want to start by sharing a story. I love to make fun of myself, which is very easy. And so I want to share this story. As I was prepping this message, I felt God remind me of the situation that happened, and I tend to do stupid things. Anybody else? Do stupid things. Okay. I mentioned that I love Hawaii. I love beaches. I love warm weather. The very first time I went to Hawaii, I was in the Air Force and had been traveling between different places. I lived for 2 years in Okinawa, Japan, and was relocating to Edwards Air Force Base in Edwards, California. Yeah, I almost forgot where it was. Was relocating. On the way, I decided I was going to go and stay with a friend in Hawaii. Super excited. We show up. The weather's great. We had a great place to stay. And we go to the beach, and I am so pumped to go to the beach. My friend who was there, he had grown up on Hawaii, and he was, okay, you need to take it easy. Be careful. I was like, yeah, okay, yeah, I know how to swim. All this stuff. We get to the beach. And if you've been to Hawaii, you know some of the beaches aren't just like a swimming pool. I mean, it's not like the calm water where you just go and float around. The beaches can be dangerous, right? So we get out of the car, and like a 10-year-old, I get out of the car. I'm like, oh, this is the best, man. I've got my shorts on. I've got all my stuff. And like I said, I do dumb things. So I ran out, and he said, it's dangerous. Be careful. I run out and run right into the water, jump right in. Oh, yeah, this is great. And what I saw was a bunch of kids at the beach. But all the kids were Hawaiian kids. They were from there. So they weren't quite as afraid of the water as I should have been. So I go out, I run out, and I literally get just a few feet into the water. And wouldn't you know it, the wave goes up. And what it does is it barrels down into not more water, but the ground. And so I'm running out there. Run out there, get into the water, and it literally picks me up, the water does, picks me up, and like a washing machine, spins me around. Now, I'd been in Hawaii, it was our very first day, and I remember thinking, okay, I was under the water long enough to think these thoughts. I'm on vacation in Hawaii, my first day, and I'm going to die like this. Like the water spins me around, and all I remember, I had no idea which way was up, which way was down. If you've been there, the sand is in the water, you can't see or feel anything. My hands are flinging around. All I felt was water. And I literally thought, this is ridiculous. I'm going to die. And if you know, this is just random, most people in the military actually die while they're on vacation. They have accidents. They kind of let loose a little bit. And I thought I was going to be one of those people. Luckily enough for me, my friend was smart enough to know that I was stupid. And he had seen me gone out. And before I could even get myself standing up, he had grabbed me and he had picked me up. And what I felt God really just kind of piquing my mind about this situation, this story, is I feel like much of what's going on in society, and this, a lot of what I'm going to say today is me kind of processing what's going on. We have five kids. We're in our community. We love our community. We're a part of a church. And how do we balance all that's going on in light of what God has called us to, loving God, loving people? But I felt God was just saying, it's like this, we're in this whirlwind cycle of culture and what's going on. It's been, I love Facebook for sharing with family and photos and all that stuff, but much of what has gone on the last couple years, I've struggled with, where people are fighting and they're wrestling through issues and they're all about certain people or whatever it is. And for me, it's been hard just to see the division amongst people. Are you sensing that as well? Is that something that you're seeing? Okay, and so I've done my best to not say much about things, whether it's political, whether it's issues going on in the community. And I've really felt God just say to me, the right thing is not to be silent, to say nothing, but he's encouraging me to, how can I be a Christian? How can I be a leader, a member of my community in a positive, engaging, loving way? And so what I just want to talk with us today is how can we do that? How can we be that way? How can we live in a contentious world? How can we thrive in a contentious world? Because God doesn't want us feeling bad all the time. He doesn't want us to feel divided and like we're always arguing issues. And we spent just our staff, we've got just a great staff this week. We spent about an hour to an hour and a half just engaging in this issue. How do we love people really well? How do we see where they're coming from? How do we see their mindsets, where they're coming from? How can we be empathetic? And I'm not saying how do we waver from truth, because there are many issues that are black and white. We, as Christians, we believe certain things, and that's the way it is. That's the foundations of our faith. But many of the issues, as we debated about and talked about in our staff meeting, many of the issues are more of the gray issues, where the Bible may have wisdom for us, it may have things we can look at, but in the end, many of us may have different views than one another, which makes things a little tougher. Okay, I can see people are getting a little bit, everybody okay? Everybody okay? It's okay to talk about this. And really what I want to do, anytime I speak, I want to encourage, I want to bring up, I want to point us back to Jesus. Because as we live our life, if we look at the big picture of things, as Christians, we are called to Matthew 28. Jesus lived, he died, he appeared to his disciples again, and he said, stay here, wait for the power, and go to all the world and make disciples. So that's our process. If we're following Jesus, if we're a part of a church, we're making disciples. We look at Ephesians 4, it talks about the giftings, apostles, prophets, teachers, pastors, evangelists. Those are great gifts, but the goal of those gifts are to equip everybody else for the works of ministry. So big picture, following Jesus, building people up so that we're more like Jesus, how can we live in a culture like ours and not just survive, not just let other people say things and state their opinions and have a negative time, a bad time? How can we thrive in those situations? Today, if you leave with anything, I want to give you just a few tips that I believe God has encouraged me to thrive in our world. Is that okay? And a lot of this, when I read the scriptures, I love to read them. But then what I see is then I start asking questions. Okay, how did they do this? What was it like there? What, how did they survive? What did they say? What did they do? Because the Bible not only is inspired by God, given to people, but it's relevant for us today. Do you believe that? Okay, I believe that. And so we're going to share. If you have your Bibles, you can shout, yeah. If you've got your Bibles, hold them up. Okay, we're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2, but I really believe this. I don't believe God is calling us to say nothing. And that's where, honestly, for the last couple years, just personally, I've done my best not to offend anybody. I'm not saying now, as of today, I'm going to start offending everybody. that'd be kind of funny at somebody else's church. But what I do believe is that God is calling me to be more intentional about how I engage those in my sphere of life. Does that make sense? Your sphere of life, you have your family, you have the schools that your kids go to, you have your church, and then you have all the other things, your hobbies that you do and all that. How can I engage well with those communities of people? Because God hasn't called us just to come to the buildings. You have a nice building, and it's great here, and we have a nice building. He doesn't call us just to come to the buildings. He calls us to be disciples and to go back to our communities with all this stuff. So he's going to show us how to do this. He's going to show us how to be this way. If you have your fingers in Ephesians chapter 2, take a quick drink here. We're going to be in 2 verse 11. I'll read this, 2:11, we're going to read through the end of the chapter here. It says, therefore remember that at one time, and I'm reading from the ESV, at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Let me just stop right there. What has been so intriguing about what's happened the last year or 2 years and all this stuff is the fear. You can literally sense the fear. I kind of feel wherever you go, whether it's at the schools, the community, the churches, people are so afraid of what might happen. And whatever side you fall on, whatever the issue is, they're so afraid of if what I think should happen doesn't happen, then what am I to be afraid of? And I believe that is one of the issues going on in the world we're talking about today. So, but remember before, having no hope and without God in the world, but now, verse 13, now in Christ, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. He's made us both one, and he broke down in the flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and he might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. And he came, Jesus, preaching peace to you who were far off and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you are also being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. See, these verses here, these give us a picture of what the church of Jesus Christ can and should be. And there's so much of this stuff that we don't have the time today to look at why we needed peace, why we needed reconciliation to God, why Jesus made us all of these things through the cross. But the reality is the teaching, the theology of this is so rich, but it also gives us something that I believe we can see in the church. I believe there are, I don't know your name, but your word of the better wine coming at the end of the wedding, I believe is true. The best days for the church of Jesus Christ aren't in the past. They're ahead of us. The best days for relationships and communities and planting churches and seeing things done not only across the world, but in Helena, in Missoula, the best days for those things are ahead of us. Do you believe that? Okay, and the picture of the church that we see here, no hostility, no separation from God, where at one time there were two kinds of people, aliens, and then there were citizens. Now through Jesus Christ, through God, those things have been changed. So I want to share with you, I love to tell stories. I think it's so an easy way to share points, and we know that Jesus did it. But I've had the privilege in the last 2 years to visit regions beyond churches around the world, and our church is 40 years old. We've had connections with many movements, and when Steve Valentine was our pastor, he was a man who connected with almost anybody. He was impossible to dislike, and we knew many churches, many movements, but it wasn't until just a couple years ago where we could connect globally with a group of churches where we saw a church when we would visit there. We saw this is what the Bible says about church. This is a new man in Christ, rich and poor and all races, and they're raising up leaders, they're raising up indigenous peoples, they're planting new churches, they're giving to the poor. And it wasn't until we started visiting some of these churches. Now, I don't want to say this is the answer or this is the only time, but for us, just going to this place in South Africa and going and seeing the churches in that region that Steve Oliver and many of his people have helped start and plant and release, for us, it's like seeing a blueprint of what we knew could be possible. Where a church that we knew all these things are possible, where it says there's no hostility, there's one citizen, everybody is a saint, everybody is a part of the family, and visiting these places and to be over there, and like I said, to be here, it feels like being at our church, but to be over in Clare in South Africa and attend their conference and be at their church there, you just sense of this is a picture of heaven on earth. Where one day all of us, the church, will be united and we'll be one in Christ. And we'll be celebrating together and everybody's speaking their own languages and their own culture and everybody is celebrated and honored and welcome in that place. And to visit South Africa was so amazing to see that I got to go in September with Brian Acey. Some of you might know Brian Acey, anybody? Okay. He was a great guy. It was, unfortunately, while we were there, he was in some pain dealing with some stuff. And so we had to take care of him. It was kind of fun. He was like, "Oh, I feel so bad," and we're like, "No, it's great. We're just glad you're here." But while we were there, how many of you have heard of the TNT Tavern? Anybody? If you went to the summit, okay. While we were there, we did a lot of prayer time, a lot of studying as a group. In the group, there are 26 leaders from about 10 or 12 different countries, and we spent time praying and talking to each other and engaging, like, how do you do ministry? How does God work with you and your church? And but one of the most amazing times for me, there were guys from India and South Africa and England. And one of the last days, our church has been fairly involved with buying a tavern and repurposing that tavern for a church facility. And we helped raise money. We sent people over. And one of the last days, the Sunday that I was there, all of us, the 26 of us, broke up to go visit and speak at different churches. And in that region, there's probably 10 or 12 different churches. And so that last Sunday, actually my son, who I said was here, he went as well. He was with us in South Africa. He got to go over to Lesotho with Brian, and he had a great time. But what they did is they broke us out, sent us to different places, and kind of randomly threw us together with these groups. Well, it was this church, the TNT Tavern, was about 2 hours from where we had stayed, and they had kind of picked me and then this older gentleman from India who was staying with us. It turns out this guy, super funny, he stayed in the room with Tristan and I, slept in the same room, and it came out towards the end of the trip, he was scared of Americans. And so he showed up, and he thought we were going to be like gun packing and, you know, super macho and all the stuff that I don't know, I'm not really that way. So he had always kind of been afraid of Americans, and he said, "It wasn't until the end that I felt comfortable and you were okay." Well, they had stuck me and him together. I didn't know this. I didn't know he was a little afraid of us. they send us on this trip together out to the TNT Tavern, and I'm sharing at this church. And if you see pictures, we've got pictures on our Facebook page. It was a tavern, a literal tavern. They bought, they painted, you go in, there's a room for about 50 to 60 people. The church was started in the living room. When I was there, I was about a year and a half old, there was 60 to 70 people in the building. I mean, they need to expand the building. This is in the poor village on the outskirts of the town. Just an amazing, amazing place. I got to share there and speak there, share my testimony of having an interesting upbringing and all that I've gone through. Well, I share my testimony, and I say this just to highlight diversity within the church. I share my testimony. People in the church are like, "Man, that is my story." Like what you said, moving and growing up in a kind of a broken home and all those things. People, "Oh, that's my story. That's my story." We're doing a great prayer time after the meeting. The man's name was Gurmeet from India. He said, "That's my story, what you said." He's like, "I grew up, I moved everywhere. My mom was married lots of times." And he said, how are we together of all the people, and here we are, and we have the exact same story. He's like, man, this is a God thing. Like, he was so fired up, and to highlight the global church of Jesus Christ. See, the thread for us wasn't that I was an American, and America is the best country in the world. It wasn't that I was coming to teach people and give them all this wisdom. It was the fact that Jesus Christ had changed us. We were in the church, and we had connected through Jesus and his church. And the diversity, not only globally, but locally, has to be something that we celebrate, we welcome, we look for. Diversity, I believe something that is causing the church a little bit of problems is people that don't think like us. And when I say us, I mean all of us. You can tell a lot about yourself and myself when you disagree with somebody. And having five kids, they've taught me a lot about how to love somebody and not fully agree with you know, how they are, what they think. Like, life has a way of teaching you things. And within the church, one of the things I want to highlight with us and just give you a few points is the value of diversity. And living in Montana, there, believe it or not, there is diversity. There's economic diversity. There's can be a cultural diversity. We can come from different places. And one of the things that I believe, and as we're kind of coming through these, and I'll give you a few things, one of the things God wants to challenge us in is, are we okay with being different than those in the church? Are we okay with whoever it is sitting next to us being different than us? And this isn't just, you know, do they come from a different place? This is, did they vote for somebody else than I did? Okay? And I'm not gonna condone or talk bad about any of the candidates, because in the end we're called to love God and love people, and that's our goal. That's our model. You look at Jesus. He confronted, how many people did he confront in their sin? You look at his life. He came alongside of them, and it wasn't, you're different than me, so you're wrong, or you're making a mistake, so you're wrong. It was, he came alongside of them. He found a way to engage and relate to them. And in the end, through the Spirit, if it was an issue that needed correcting, he didn't always have to say, hey, you're doing it wrong, you need to fix it now. In the end, the Spirit of God or those people were changed such that they realized, maybe I'm coming from the wrong place, or maybe I need to adjust what I'm doing. Are we okay with being different than the person sitting next to us in the church? Are we okay with that? Are we okay with having different political views? Are we okay, somebody who voted different than us? I think this is such a big issue, and we're seeing, our staff shared, we're seeing people all over the place, in person, online, all this stuff, families splitting over this. That is ridiculous. Okay, family is family. We're talking about bigger issues, politics and all this. But are we okay with being different? Are we mature enough to sit in the church next to people that would be different than us? And our church, I believe, in Missoula, we're striving, obviously, to become like this Ephesians 2 church, one new man in Christ. Though we were different, though we came from a different place, though we have different thoughts, maybe beliefs, maybe views on things, are we okay with that? Maybe, possibly, maybe we're on that path. I want to really highlight, let's look at Jesus. Did he ever disagree with anybody that he worked with? Okay, how about Mark? Mark chapter 3, verse 13, you don't have to look at it, but Jesus is born. He all of a sudden has these people following him around. He chooses his disciples. Did he go to a building, I'm going to have a meeting? Did he only invite people that he liked, that were like him, and said, okay, everybody show up at the same time, I'm going to pick somebody that is just like me? Is that what he did? No, almost very opposite. He kind of traveled around all these different places, and he found these fishermen, he found these tax collectors, he found these zealots, and even he picked somebody to be his follower who he knew would betray him. And for me, I think sometimes we make it so easy to make the door of the church very narrow. It's really easy to say, I knew somebody planning a church, and his mission statement and his purpose and all this stuff, it was so fine that, okay, you basically have to be an elder to come to your church for the first time. Like, That's not how you want to win the world and meet people wherever you're going. We need to, I believe the door of the church needs to be the widest door that we can make it. Okay, people should be able to come to church and not need their issues fixed and not have everything figured out. And I believe what God is speaking to me is not to be silent in these issues, but to engage, to be relevant. And I think if we can do this from the leadership up, and this is a challenge. Our church is trying to do this from the leadership to the staff to the, you've been here a long time. If you can do this in our circles, if we can create, listen to this, a place of peace, where we are different than one another, where I know that you voted for somebody else that I didn't vote for, I didn't agree with the candidate, I didn't agree with the issues. If we can love and create a place of peace, for me, the world is looking for a place of peace. And if we can be that to the community, if we can be that to our world, it's going to make who we are attractive. Steve Oliver shared with us, they were, do you guys know the name Steve Oliver? I'm just throwing that, okay. He helps lead Regions Beyond. He incredibly gifted. The Spirit is on him to do amazing things. He raises leaders like crazy. He unites people from where they're from to one new man in Christ. And they were at this prayer time in Dubai, and they were out praying, and just nations and nations of different people, 50 to 100 leaders, and they're just at breakfast having fun, having conversations, and to eventually, if you've been to Dubai, it's a crazy place, it's a crazy city. But they're there, and all these different people are talking and praying and having fun, and finally, one of the waitresses said to Steve or somebody else, she said, "Who are you people? Where are you from? What is going on here?" Like, you just don't see this. You don't see the diversity of people and beliefs anywhere in the world. And if we're talking about the global or the eternal perspective of church, this Ephesians 2, everything is possible, peace in the people of God. There are no races, no divisions, there's no hostility because of Jesus. The picture of the church should be one so diverse, so different that our value from one another makes us better together. How many of you love water, love drinking water? Anybody? Okay. Water is good, but if that was the only drink you had the rest of your life, we could do it. We could do it, but how many of you love coffee? Anybody? Okay. Come on, you're my kind of people. How many of you, how many of you love a good beer? Anybody? Okay. Good wine. I think you think of what you can create when you bring in harmony different things. Okay, different ingredients. What once was very simple, water, and I'm not a scientist, so I know water is not simple. Okay, but what is pretty simple can be made so much better when you add into harmony all these other things. When you add more ingredients, when you add what was not like once, what is not like each other. You think of a coffee bean. It was a fruit. You dry it, you cook it, you burn it, you crush it, you put water through it. To think of that and to create something better than water, it really is amazing. In the church, how much more so? You think of the people that come that are diverse, have different experience and ideas, and that was one of the best things about the men's rally is hearing the stories of all the guys. I shared my story, and I had kind of a crazy childhood. We've got a complicated family that is amazing. And as I shared, I was like, oh, well, certainly mine is probably one of the crazier families. Well, good news, no. There is no normal. We all have our own experience, and it's just amazing to sense that between us, we can be better together than we can apart. That diversity, that being different, loving God, loving people means loving others that are not like us. It's so tough immediately, and I believe one of the things we've got to do if we want to be okay with having a church and a community of people that disagree on things, that are different, which that's what I'm going for, you guys. A church that can be different than one another. I think a place of peace like that is going to be attractive. And I also believe God is going to give us, when we dwell in unity together like that, disagreeing in love, disagreeing in unity, God will bless that. The Bible talks about it. He blesses unity in one another. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. Write this down. I want you to memorize this week. Now, you're not my church, but I'm giving you homework. JR will check up on you or whoever's speaking next week. This, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3 says this, "I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Yeah, that's about the easiest thing in the world to do, right? It's easy to do if you agree with everybody that's around you, maybe, right? Even the nicest people, the people we like the most, get on our nerves or we lose patience for or kind of tired of, Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit. Now, we live in Missoula. We have some passionate people in Missoula. Okay, I'll just put it that way. Passionate people. And so for us, we're living this out. How do we do this? How do we engage in our culture but not be rude, not say we have all the answers, we want you to be just like us? We want to engage. We want to be able to have those conversations, to listen. And I also believe this, God is challenging the church to not only love God, love our neighbors, do all these things, but to be empathetic. Empathetic, to understand and feel where other people are coming from, to put ourselves in their shoes. Why would somebody be different than me? Why would somebody think different than me? Why would somebody have values that I wouldn't necessarily agree with? I think as we think about it, as we pray through those things, God will allow us to see maybe why it is they think or are a certain way. Do you think so? Putting ourselves in somebody else's shoes? One of the first things I said talked about fear. This is a place that, in a world based on fear, I believe, of a lot of what might happen, what could happen, what, how bad could it get? And much of us, the Bible actually talks about this, we are to replace fear with faith. We don't have all the answers. We know who does. We don't have control of everything. We know who holds the whole world in his hand. It's a good relief to not be anxious about much, but to trust in God and say, you know what, God, you are going to work this out. It might not look like how I think it should, right? Our country, our community, whatever it is, it might not be how I would have done it. Well, the good news is I'll release you of the stress right now. You are not God. I am not God. We don't have to have everything figured out. He's gonna build this church like we've heard. He's going to build it. He's going to bless his people. He's going to take care of us. He's also going to make sure truth and justice and all those things are taken care of. But above all, our job at this point is to love God and love people. Engage our community well, love God, love people. And I want to leave you with this, talking about the one new man. There's no outsiders. There's no outcasts. Church, can we be a place where we don't see outsiders? Can it be a place where we don't see a them and an us? Can it be a place where even if you know somebody is different than you, you welcome those people, you engage them in conversations? I want to challenge us as well to be quick to hold our mouths, be quick to not put stuff online that you will absolutely maybe regret at one point. Don't give anybody a place to say, that's why I'm not a Christian. That's why they're hypocritical. That's why I'm not going to listen to what the Bible says, because see, here's God's people. Here's his disciples, and people will engage, and they appreciate Jesus. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, he's loving. Yeah, he's a great teacher, but there's his people, and I don't like his people, and I don't like his church, so why would I give following Jesus a try? Let's not give them any other reason to look away from Jesus. Let's be loving. Let's be kind. Let's be gracious. Let's be the most welcoming and peaceful people there are, and this is such a huge challenge. I mean, this isn't, okay, everything's fixed. We're just going to be those people now. This is an everyday, okay, God, help me to be peaceful. Help me to be patient. Help me to welcome those that are different than me. Help me to love my neighbor that whatever they might have done to me or whatever it is. You know, help me to value those that are different than me. Help me to see the best in somebody else. That's one of the best things about traveling that I've seen is just the leaders in regions beyond are picking people out of poverty, out of situations you never would have guessed, and raising them to be seated with them in leadership in churches and all this stuff. But they're seeing the potential and honoring those people wherever it may be and releasing them to see God do them amazing things. I think we can do that here. I think instead of being so contentious and divisive, if we're operating in much of this spirit of being welcoming, God will bless us, and we'll see an amazing church, a picture of a church that people will notice. How can they be different? How can they be divided but united at the same time? How can they be different and united, and God will bless that? I want to challenge us and leave you with this. We can't do this on our own. You know, that's moralism, trying to, okay, you need to be better, you need to do better, you need to be a better person. There's no way we can do that. All of history has shown nobody is good enough save Jesus Christ. Only Jesus is good enough to live that perfect, spotless life, and only his sacrifice was good enough to bring us back to God the Father. And so I leave you with this. All these things, the church is glorious. It's amazing, you guys. I've seen it. We've been in it for many years in Missoula, and we believe the best is ahead. Unity is ahead and we believe it really is a beacon in our communities. We want to engage in these issues, love people well, and see them not walk in fear but in faith. But I believe this. To do this, we must, as Galatians 5:25 says, we must live by the Spirit in step with the Spirit. And so if I can encourage you today in this, be filled with the Spirit. Trust God. Follow Jesus. But be filled with the Spirit. And today, every day, the Bible says, and maybe you don't know, the Bible says we're to be filled with His Spirit once, but we're also to be continually filled with His Spirit that we may in turn, live by His Spirit in step with Him. And as we are, if you've heard of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control, as we live in step with the Spirit, as we are clothed with Jesus Christ, not by our own doing, but by receiving Jesus, that gift, as we do that continually, those things, the love, the joy, the peace, the patience, all of that will come out of our life. And it will be a testament to Jesus Christ that will build His church, it will build our life, and people will be drawn to who we are and the community that we are a part of. So today, I don't know how you guys close or what you do, but I want to encourage you as you pray, maybe you need a fresh filling. Maybe you need to leave some contention by the side of, man, I've had a hard time differing with somebody and being united. Maybe you're judging people as well. Maybe it's you've been struggling with some of these issues. I want to leave you with today, you can lay these things down. I know for me, as I've been just kind of walking through all this stuff, God is just, okay, this feels way better, you know, just letting it go. And I don't have to have the answers, I don't have to fix everything, but I know God has called me to love people and do that well. I can disagree and I can be different, but God's going to unite us through this. And I would just want to encourage us in that.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.